Morning. Happy Easter. Oh, you can do better than that. Thank you. Hallelujah. There we go. And now I think you actually believe it. But I don't have any battery. Okay, that's fine. I'm glad to see all of you here today. It's good to see so many of us gathered together to celebrate hope when there's just not a lot of that going around. That's why we need to be here on a day like this, to celebrate the hope that we share, to remind each other that we're not alone, we're not crazy, that you can believe in something better in a time like this. This morning we turn to one of the most tender and the most powerful moments in the resurrection story. There are lots of resurrection stories that we could look at on Easter Sunday. This one in particular is, I think, very tender. This story starts when it's still dark outside, when Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, her heart heavy with grief. She expects to find death, but instead she finds a stone rolled away and a body gone. What follows is a deeply human moment. There's confusion, there's fear, there's tears. And Mary's trying to make sense of what's happened, but in the midst of all of her sorrow and confusion and chaos, something remarkable happens. The risen Jesus appears, but she doesn't know it, at least not at first. It's not until he speaks her name that everything changes. It's not just a story about a miracle. It's a story about a relationship. It's a story about how the risen Christ meets us, not with grand declarations, but in a voice that calls us by name. The word of the Lord from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in, saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, saw the linen wrappings laying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not laying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place all by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they just did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. Pause. She still hasn't gone in yet. She didn't go in the first time. She saw that stone was moved. She ran away. She's seen Peter and the other guy go in the tomb, and she stayed outside. She still has not mustered the courage to see what's in there. Unpause. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she just didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, just tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned. She said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Don't touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And so Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. She runs to tell the disciples twice in this story. The first time she runs and says, I've seen the tomb. It's empty. And the second time she gets to run back and says, this time I saw him. He's alive. She comes to this tomb early in the morning. It's still dark, and that detail does matter. It's not just about the time of day. It sets the emotional tone for Mary. This darkness outside reflects the darkness within. Jesus is dead. The one who gave her dignity is dead. The one who delivered her, included her, the one who saw her, he's gone. She comes not with hope, but with devotion. I think that speaks true. I think a lot of us come week after week to a place like this, whether it's this one or another one, sometimes not with hope, but at least with devotion. Her love brings her to the grave, but she expects nothing more than a sealed tomb and a lifeless body. Instead, the stone is rolled away, the body is missing, and she runs for help. Because in her mind, it's not fathomable he's alive. Surely somebody has desecrated the grave. They've hidden him away. It's not enough that they took her away from her in life. They've taken him away from her in death. But Mary stays. She stands outside the tomb. She weeps. And even when she looks inside and she sees angels, she just doesn't make sense of it. You know this feeling. You've been here. You've been so buried in grief that you just can't even see what's going on. Her sorrow won't let her see any bigger picture. Her eyes are too blurry to make out who's who and what's what. Someone's behind her. She turns and she sees him, but she doesn't really see him. She doesn't know who it is. She assumes it's a gardener, some sort of caretaker. Her vision is clouded by her grief, metaphorically, physically. Her mind is just unable to comprehend the possibility of resurrection. It's just not there. The very person she longs to find is standing right in front of her, and she just doesn't see it. There's something profoundly human in this moment. On a scale, it's a sliding scale. Whether you've been that person who's trying to find their glasses for 2 hours only to find out they're still in your head, it's the same thing. That's still on the small end of the spectrum, all the way to a much larger side of, like, I don't know, Jesus is standing right behind you, and you don't know it. She's in this moment in which she's so caught up in her frustration and her grief and her big feelings. If we're going to quote Miss Rachel on Easter Sunday, she's so caught up in her big feelings that she just can't figure it out. It's what people do. It's what you've done. We've all done this. This is not a story of instant clarity. This is a story of love that's weighed down by loss, of faith that is shaken by death. This is someone who seeks Jesus and doesn't realize that he's closer than she could ever have realized. Mary's experience feels deeply familiar. We know what it's like to seek Jesus and not recognize him. We know how loss disorients us, how sorrow can cloud and perception and make it hard to see hope, even whenever it's standing right in front of you. Grief has a way of narrowing our vision. Whether it's the death of someone we love, or the collapse of something we believed in, or the weight of a world that just feels like it's unraveling, we often find ourselves standing outside tombs, overwhelmed. And just like Mary, we may find ourselves asking, where is he? Why isn't he going to show up? We might even mistake his presence for something ordinary, assuming that the voice we hear is just another stranger, when it was so much more. In these seasons of confusion, we long for certainty, for assurance, for something that just makes sense. But often, Jesus doesn't arrive in the way that we expect. He doesn't explain everything up front. Instead, we find silence, or at least what looks and feels like silence. We pray, and it feels like no one's listening. We read scripture, and it doesn't speak to us the way it used to. We go through motions, but the comfort that we hope for just is always right beyond our reach. Like Mary, we stand outside empty places in our lives, and we cry. We feel alone, and we don't realize that Jesus is closer than you could ever imagine. That's what tombs do. That's how tombs function. They just suck you right in, and all you can see is death and grief and despair, and you can't see anything else. And our longing and our questions, and the very space where we feel abandoned, that is where Jesus is standing, and we just don't recognize it yet. And then it happens. Jesus says one word. Not a sermon, not an explanation, not even a question, just her name. And with that, everything changes. She turns. She already knows before she turns. The voice is the same one that had spoken freedom and healing into her life before, the voice that had welcomed her, valued her, seen her. In that one word, calling her name, she hears everything she needs to hear. All the grief, all the confusion, all the unanswered questions, none of it's erased. It doesn't disappear. The grief, the doubt, the pain, it's all still there in that tomb with her. But all of it is reframed, repurposed. Because Jesus is alive. He wasn't absent. He's not missing. He is present. And he is speaking, of all people, to her. This is grace. Not just that Jesus is risen, but that he reveals himself personally. He doesn't wait for Mary to understand. He meets her in her confusion. He doesn't scold her for not figuring it out or not believing. He calls her name, and he lets love do the rest. The risen Christ does not remain distant or abstract. You didn't come here today because Jesus is somewhere else and you don't know where they've laid him. You came here today because he is risen and he is here. He comes close. He calls in a voice that is familiar. He knows her. And in being known, she sees. This is the same Jesus who earlier said that the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls her by name and she leaves the tomb. She leaves her empty place behind. At one word. Now, in the garden, that promise is so real for Mary. Grace enters the story not just as a victory over death, but as the presence of a living Jesus who calls us personally with love. If he was resurrected and didn't have this moment, would this moment have meant as much? If he was resurrected but then ascended immediately, would we be here doing this year after year? And what happens to Mary happens to us. The risen Jesus still calls us by name. He still meets us in our confusion, in our grief, our unanswered prayers, not with judgment, not criticizing you for not having enough faith, not for doubting, not for any of that, just with presence, just standing right there behind you, waiting for you to turn around. We may not always recognize him at first. We may not always see him. We may mistake him for a stranger, overlook his nearness, or assume he's somewhere off far away. But in time, in his own way, he speaks. Sometimes through scripture, sometimes through a friend, sometimes through silence. And when he does, it feels like waking up. We realize that he has been there all along. Jesus doesn't wait for us to have perfect understanding before he shows up. He draws close in the very moments when we feel the most lost. And he doesn't call us generically. There's no, hey, you. There's no, excuse me. There's no, he calls you by name. And not your formal name, the name your friends use. It's personal. He knows our name. He knows our story. He knows how to reach us in ways that no one else can, how to snap us out of it when nothing else could. That is how resurrection functions on a day-to-day basis. It's not just that Jesus conquered death. He did. But it's that he's alive and present here and now, still seeking out the heartbroken. He still speaks peace into our fear. He still opens our eyes to see him in places we would never expect. And when we do hear him, when we do recognize his voice, our lives are forever changed. Like Mary, we're sent to share what we've seen. I have seen the Lord. Which means we are no longer alone. I'm growing more and more convinced as every day passes that the greatest tool the enemy could ever use on any of us is to keep us feeling isolated. Which is why it's good for us to be here together, to break out of that isolation, to remember that you are not doing this alone. The risen Christ walks beside us, calls us by name, sends us into the world to tell others with resurrection and with hope. And as we come to this Lord's table today, we do so like Mary. We bring all of it with us. Whatever you're carrying, whether that's a grief or a question or a hope or a confusion or faith. And just like Mary outside that tomb, we may not always recognize that he is near. But here, in this meal, he speaks again. He calls us by name. Communion is not just some remembrance of a death. It's a celebration of a living presence. The bread and the cup are signs that he is not far off. He is here, alive, calling to us, nourishing us, meeting us personally. When Mary heard her name, she turned toward Christ. That's what this table invites us to do, to turn toward the one who knows us, who loves us, who gave himself for us. Not because you have all the answers, but because the risen Christ calls to you, just as you are, to receive the grace of the one who is still alive, who still calls your name. I imagine most of you have felt that moment, that calling of your name before, and have responded in kind. But if you haven't, we'd love for that to be today. If you find yourself standing at a tomb of any kind, there are lots to choose from these days. If you notice that this is the moment in which your life is full of that emptiness, and you hear him calling your name today, don't ignore it. Don't write it off. Don't think you're crazy. Give in to it. We'd love to be part of that story for you. If there's any here today that need to respond to that call, I'll be standing in the back. Love to talk to you. At the very least, pray with you, whatever that looks like. But what I don't want to happen, and what I need all of you to at least nod your head in agreement to, just to make me feel better, okay? Just nod your head in agreement to this. Please, 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 none of you go back to the tomb today. Don't go back to your empty places. Go out and tell the world that he called you by name, that you've seen the risen Lord. Leave here with hope. And don't leave here with anything else. Don't go back to the tombs. They're still empty. Let's stand and sing.